fiery demon's gonna kill me.
Hello and welcome to Just Some Guardians, episode 16. We are usually every other week, Destiny podcast, and on the in-betweens we do our nerd talk, and that's what this is.
Whoa.
I think this is our sixth one, nerd talk number six. Yeah.
422nd.
This is our 422nd nerd talk. Joining me tonight. Shut up, everybody! Oh my god, this is the intro. Can we have? Could be a little professional here. God, stop being yourself.
No. Do you know us?
For 2 seconds. One Mississippi, two Mississippi. Okay, you're good to go. Joining me tonight, I have my ever sensual co-host, Nicholas. How are you, sir?
This is horrifying. This is
gargling some marmalade.
I'm exploring the Cathedral of the Deep, so I am pretty deep.
So Christopher Robin is returning. Does that mean Tigger comes too?
What?
That's like, that sounds like a really bad parody porno. Tigger comes too.
Oh.
Also with us tonight is the effervescent Russell. What's up, dude?
Stuffed.
Tigger bounces on your tail.
Oh, that's what's up, Tigger. Tigger's up.
Oh, Matt's gone.
There we go. And also joining us. Once again, returning to us 14 episodes later, we have the man whose voice could whisper the clothes off of any Cabal Emperor, Luthien.
Hello, hello, thank you.
Welcome back, my man.
I'm already taking my clothes off.
What happened between Alex and Emperor Kallus is between Alex and Emperor Kallus.
I mean, and the guy filming, but, you know.
What happens on the Leviathan stays on the Leviathan.
Unless you're streaming, then everyone knows. Oh, God! Well, let's just go around and do our generic blah, blah, blahs. Nick, what have you been up to this week?
Exploring the Cathedral of the Deep. The Catheter of the Deep.
What you didn't know about Aldrich is
that... There's a lot of rolling in the Catheter of the Deep. Ugh.
You're rolling in the deep.
All right, Adele. Take it easy.
A mental image of Dark Souls Adele and Catheter is just not. I don't need that in my mind right now.
That doesn't do it for you? What's wrong with you, man?
No, I got nothing. I honestly tried to make a way to make that sexy and I couldn't pull it off.
Nope, I don't think you can make that sexy.
It just wouldn't happen.
You to make that sexy.
Russell, what have you been up this week, bud?
I've been exploring not the Cathedral of the Deep because I wasn't there for that, but other things with Nick and Luthien. And then I started a sorcerer build for Dark Souls 3 because I haven't done that in Dark Souls 3 yet. I've done like an intelligence build, but I mostly use the dark sword with a enchanted gem on it. But anyway, that's what I've been doing this week, is just doing pure sorcery build.
Dude, that
sounds magical.
That sounds like an album cover. I've been doing pure sorcery.
Is that what those hip kids are calling it these days?
Yeah, it sounds
Who
like drugs.
Sounds like drugs.
When you got pure sorcery.
Drugs.
Well, Luthien, what have you been up for the last, like, 3.5 months?
I've been doing what I always do, working. Just always.
I was hoping it was a way better story.
I'm trying to finish cosplay projects because I have so many.
How's that going?
Pretty good. I've got a couple that are halfway done.
What kind of builds have you been working on?
Well, I'm working on a pair of Wasteland-style masks for some of our airsoft friends, and I've just started working on a replica of Asha Greyjoy's breastplate from Game of Thrones for another friend of mine.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that
part. I can't wait for pics of that one.
Yep, I'm super stoked. That's why I have a duct tape mannequin of her torso in my bedroom.
Not just for sexy
questions.
Just
Mom, don't look at me.
Esha oh my god, that's bus, fantastic. Not just for sexy fun times anymore.
Well, as for me, I've just been the same thing. I'm just working. I haven't been able to do a lot but work and take care of kids. So that's exciting for me. Mm-hmm. Wow. We're an active group of fellas.
Such an exciting group of individuals. It's almost like adults with lives or something.
What?
And responsibilities.
That second part works. I don't know if we need to use the word adults.
Yeah, we've gone far enough.
It's true. I mean, you are the old one, so...
I'm the old one.
Yeah, Nick's the old one. I'm like a young baby in comparison to that old piece of...
Defecation. No.
Brett's the old one. Nick is the great old one.
The great old one. Tell me, Sage Nick, what advice do you have for a lowly soul such as I?
That's not quite where he was going with it, but I'll take it.
He's not an Eldritch Horror? I'm so disappointed.
Oh, I'm not an Eldritch Horror. I'm an Eldritch Whore.
That's where I was going with it.
So, when we're recording this, I'm sitting in the tower. And because the field of view is so small on the plate on the console, this guy was like chicken dancing next to me for the last 5 minutes. I didn't even notice. And so I just turned to look at him, and like when you pan the camera, just your head moves. So like my head slowly turns to look directly at him. He just waves and like jumps off the cliff and dies. It was fantastic.
That sounds like our kind of person. You should get him on the podcast.
I'll invite him right now. like our good friend. Oh, what was his name? Oh, it was Brett, too. That's right. Little Brett. Yeah, we need to get him back in here again.
Ooh.
Oh. Little Brett, remember he jumped in the party randomly? What was that, last episode or the episode before?
Yes. He talked about Minecraft.
Minecraft, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the episode before, yeah. Oh, my God, that was hilarious. Did you ever go back and listen to that?
No, I don't listen to our podcast. I enjoy good shows.
Right. I struggle editing. I'm like, God, this is such garbage. And I cry.
I just hate the sound of my own voice.
You're not alone.
It's like nails on the chalkboard. I don't know how we're not losing listeners every week.
We are. I get emails 4 times a week. They're like, I would listen, but then you have Russell back again. And I'm like, I can't do it anymore.
Yeah, sorry.
So thanks a lot.
It happens. What you gonna do? Can't get rid of me.
That's life.
That's true. He's like a chlamydia or something.
Yep. Just.
That's what Russell brings us.
Chlamydia. Yes. Chlamydia.
Not
the chlamydia.
A single.
But yeah.
He's his own special form of chlamydia.
Ouch.
I'm gonna make you a T-shirt. It'll be great. Or a mug. World's greatest chlamydia.
Oh, at least I'm the world's greatest something.
I don't think your wife would appreciate you being the best at that.
Nope, she would not.
Oh my God.
She thinks I'm the best at other things.
He just is the best.
Well, before we dive into our actual, the whole segment of what this show is, in case anyone cares, did you guys see the whole... No,
nobody does.
The Ninja Twitch thing this week?
No.
I don't Twitch along with ninjas.
I only Twitch when a ninja stabs me in the back of the neck.
So, I was crawling into bed, ready to go to bed, and I was checking my Twitter feed, and, like, Twitter was blowing up about Ninja playing Fortnite with Drake, the artist.
Oh, I did see a thing about that.
Yeah, so it was blowing up, and I was like, well, I'll just jump in here just to see it. And it blew, like, every Twitch record that's ever existed, like, out of the water. It was kind of insane to watch.
That didn't just break Twitch records. That broke internet records. Like, that was the most people ever viewing a single live stream on the internet ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really? That buff, the traffic was insane. Yeah, but he had, it started off, he brought Drake in. And then they had some other rapper, I can't remember his name, and then like a linebacker from the Steelers, and they were doing squads in Fortnite, and I think they broke the record. He had 620,000 people watching at the top.
Whoa.
Yeah. I was like, Jesus. I was just watching the Twitch just go, bloop, 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 and I was like, oh my. Because we just talked about Overwatch League. Like that first week, they hit like, it was like 400,000 that first day, right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was like close. Was it 400?
I think they at least hit 300 on that first day, if I remember correctly. And that was like mind blowing. And I'm watching this going, oh my God. But the thing was with that I actually, the reason I stuck around and watched it is because it was actually super entertaining. Did you guys watch when Snoop Dogg tried to live stream a game?
No.
A couple years ago.
That's a thing.
I think it was like Call of Duty tried to like do the whole celebrity thing and had Snoop Dogg Twitch their game or stream their game. And you could tell he's never done anything in his life. He didn't understand what any of the terms were. He didn't know how to play. He was like awful at the game. And so it tanked bad. But the thing that got me watching was like, these guys actually game. And they were like, well, Ninja's the number one streamer in Fortnite right now. Let's go play with him because we're bored. And so like Drake's call outs were like really good. He understood how to play the game and he was the only one alive in a couple rounds and won it for everybody. And I was like, what? Nice. This is insane. So that was
like
cool.
Drake, the guy that started in that like teen soap opera. Degrassi,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That Drake. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was pretty, it was a big deal for the internet and gaming really. Cause, gaming's kind of been attacked recently, in case you haven't noticed. So it was kind of cool to have that light. We had sports, music, and then gaming all in one stream. And there's people from major like newspapers and internet news guys or whatever were writing about it. And it was huge. It was pretty cool to see. I just wanted to bring that up.
Bloggers guys.
Yeah, those don't count. I did have to laugh at a couple of them that were obviously didn't know what they were talking about. They're like, this is stupid. I've never even heard of this Twitch thing. It's a dying, whatever it is. It's going nowhere and it's a dying thing. And like,
those are the old guys.
Yeah. It was, I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's like the fourth most traveled site on the internet currently. I think it's like Amazon.
Next to my MySpace profile.
Amazon, Google, Nick's MySpace profile, and then Twitch. Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. Know,
the Twitch, it's just a fad, just like the internet.
Right. Mm-hmm. Just like automobiles.
Those moving pictures.
Movies with sound, this is never going to work. Movies with color, this is never going to work. Mm-hmm. Music on compact discs, this is never going to work. Digital music, what is this nonsense?
Paper printers, who would ever need a printer?
At home? House? I could go to a store. But
going even further back, the home PC.
Oh, right. Yeah. One last thing I want to touch on with that before I move on. Before the other two, like the other rapper and the linebacker came on. So it was Drake, Ninja, and then I think one of like the guys Ninja plays with. And it was just this one moment. It was just like beautiful. So they're playing and Ninja's friend, I can't remember his name. I'm sorry, dude. But you just hear him go like, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but. Drake, I've got some bandages for you. It was pretty funny. I was like, good for him, dude. That's a moment he'll remember his whole
great
life.
Moment.
Right. That was fun. But so there we go. I just wanted to touch on that because that was exciting.
Three and a half seconds.
Right. Anyway, so the main segment of tonight's show. Nick, what are we talking about?
A what?
You know?
Macaroni and cheese recipes.
Okay, so
that's my favorite.
I actually had a really good macaroni and cheese the other day. It had like a white sauce.
So. Ooh.
Okay, dude, why so gotta be what? White?
So I make this.
It's my
special mac and cheese. I make it with smoked gouda, and it's baked mac and cheese. I put some kielbasa in there, and then some panko crumbs over the top. Ooh, buddy.
Kinko crumbs.
Kinky panko. Crumbs.
Yeah, kinky.
Yeah. Shame those crumbs. Put them in your mouth. Oh, yeah. Dude, mac and cheese with pulled pork in it. That's all you need in life.
Man. Brisket. Smoked brisket.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Mm. Oh, my God. Wow, I'm hungry now.
Really easily.
Me too.
So this is going to be a slight intermission. We're all going to go get mac and cheese. We'll be back.
mac and cheese with our favorite meats inside of it.
Ooh, I like this. That's another trick. Nope, can't derail that one. So the main segment of tonight, we're going to be discussing Dungeons and Dragons. Here there be dragons and dungeons.
Lovely.
And dice and pieces of paper. Yeah.
Yep. All those incredibly sexy things.
We don't play with too many pieces of paper. It's more digital now.
That's true. I even have like a notepad app on my phone opened that's literally just looks like a piece of paper that I type all my notes on while we're playing. So yeah, we don't
have
paper.
You can put notes into the D&D app, the D&D Beyond app that we use.
Well, it's fun because my notes thing opens up every time I turn on the computer. And every time I turn on the computer, it's just a row of notes for our game. And it's always fun to turn on and go, oh, yeah, that's right. What's going on here and here and here? Okay. So it's like I'm constantly being reminded all week. It's kind of cool.
That is cool. I approve of that as a DM.
Thank you, sir. And then, let's start, Russell. Since we've got our own campaign going, do you want to just talk about like what we're using for it? And then we'll talk about why we've decided to start this and then go from there.
Okay, yeah. So what we're using is we're using D&D 5e. I've opened it up so that the players can choose anything, licensed D&D material for 5e, including... I don't think it's licensed, but it also includes like the Blood Hunter that Matt Mercer puts out. And I think there was something else. But anyway, we use D&D Beyond, which is an amazing app. If nobody's looked at it or touched it, it is fantastic. I love the ease of being able to search things and then automatically be pulled up. I love the way that it helps you build the characters, especially for new people that you're trying to bring in. You know, walking you guys through your character creation and kind of showing you the things. I feel like D&D Beyond really helps that disconnect that sometimes new characters feel in building a character, because it walks you through the steps. It says, here, this is how you build it. These are the things that come along with this class or this race. And I think that is huge for people who... you know, who are scared to start playing D&D because it's so much. I mean, because there's a lot with D&D. And two, I love the DM tools of being able to share the campaign with my players so that they don't have to go out and purchase the materials that I already have. They can just use it on the campaign that I'm running, which is amazing. And then we just use the Discord because we all live in different states, so... we use the Discord to communicate and play the game, which I think I've really enjoyed that, especially because of the RP bot that you got, Nick.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's so cool.
To see your guys' roles is really nice for me, because that's the one thing that you don't get playing at a distance, is being able to see the person's roles. And being able to see, because there's always that moment of, okay, we're going to roll the die, and you're looking, and you're hoping, you know, especially at those intense pivotal moments where you're just like, come on! You know what I mean?
Well, in case...
I like that's on there.
In case anyone's super confused at this point, I did this in this order on purpose. Luthien.
Yes.
Putting you on the spot. What is D&D, my man?
Dungeons & Dragons is a tabletop role-playing game. It's been around since the 80s.
I think 70s.
70s? The day I was born.
I know it's been a while. It's been around for a long time.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe it's 76.
It's not the true granddaddy of Dungeons of tabletop role-playing games. I believe that goes to Little Wars by... oh, what's his name? I want to say H.G. Wells.
Sure.
The author?
An early science fiction writer made a tabletop war game that is sort of the true granddaddy. But basically, you all sit around
War of the Worlds guy?
And you use your imagination. And you, you build characters and you act out stuff. And...
Are you saying you roleplay?
You do roleplay. And you will, you build a character, and then your dungeon master has written up a story for you. And you go through this story as your characters, using various built-in rules and mechanics. Sort of like playing a video game, but there's no actual video, and you just gotta make it up in your head.
Yes, which in a, and that's the big thing for me, is like, in a time where there's so much, like, visual entertainment, you kind of get used to not having to use your own imagination, so it's really fun to just sit down and force that part of your brain to work again, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fantastic. I think that's something that we lose a lot as we get older.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Well, that imagination to play.
I think that's the thing that D&D, I think that that's one of the reasons that tabletop RPGs, just kind of in general, there's something that'll never go out of style, I don't think, because it is, mm-hmm. you're getting together as a group, you're getting to experience, you know, especially, you know, we're all gamers, but there's that draw to tabletop RPG because it's the ultimate freedom. You can do whatever the heck you want. I mean, some of it's dictated by what you can accomplish with the dice, but you can try to do anything that you want. You can go in any direction. You don't run into invisible walls. You don't fall down a pit and die. Well, unless the DM plans it. But, you know, I mean, you can do whatever you want. And I think that that's the thing that we try to with games, right? Mm-hmm. Is that adventure, exploration feeling that you get. But I don't think it'll ever be able to reach that same part of us that D&D does.
Mm. Yeah. Well, and then speaking of roleplay, Nick, my friend, my beautiful like Nick. So you've recently turned around and changed your character in our campaign to be super roleplay oriented. Is there some sort of media that you've been watching and listening to that's made you want to redo this?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
That's not a real thing.
Yeah. So, Critical Role.
Critical Role? I did not see this coming.
YouTube. There are a bunch of, quote, nerdy-ass voice actors, end quote, that sit around and they play Dungeons & Dragons together. They're a DM. Well, first of all, I guess it's sponsored by Geek & Sundry. Mm-hmm. And if you've never, ever, ever heard of Geek & Sundry, you should go check them out.
Mm-hmm.
Geek & Sundry and Project Alpha? Or is that just a medium that they use? I'm confused.
I think that's a medium they use, and then there's...
The actual shows on Geek & Sundry, yeah.
Yeah, hold on.
That's another callback to what we were talking about before. They are actually this season sponsored by D&D.
That's right. They've been doing giveaways and stuff as they go. It's been really cool.
We are not sponsored by D&D Beyond.
Do you know who we are sponsored by, though?
No, if you sign up for D&D Beyond and you subscribe to one of their crazy plans that are completely awesome, like Russell, and you use the promo code JustSomeGuardians, you will be graced with a benevolent error code.
Really?
Yeah,
he's not aware of this.
Yes. We are open to sponsorship from D&D Beyond, though. Just throwing that
out.
We are,
and we'll write a theme song. We'll write a little... Sam Riegel's just saying. So anyway,
and we actually have a giveaway this show, which is your own imagination. Call in the next 5 minutes. We'll throw in a free set of steak knives.
Imagination.
I thought you meant we were actually give away their imagination.
Yes.
That would be even better.
We're gonna rip it from your brain.
Speaking of their imagination, Critical Role.
Come
yeah,
with
it's
me.
This group of voice actors: Laura Bailey, Taliesin
Jaffe.
Travis
Willingham.
Willingham, thank you. I always want to say Willington. There's Liam O'Brien. There is Marissa. Shish Kebab. Marisha, I don't remember her name. Oopsie. She and Matthew Mercer, DM, are a thing. Laura Bailey and Travis Willingham are a thing. Who else is in there?
And they are having
a baby. They are having
a
baby. That was a spoiler alert for the campaign, even, FYI. Who else is in it? I think it's just them. Did I forget somebody? Oh, Sam Riegel.
Yeah, I think you got all.
So they have two campaigns. Both of them are available on your podcasts, wherever it is. You just so happen to get your podcast. You can watch them on Twitch or on YouTube. And their first campaign, right? I keep forgetting about that. Their first campaign followed a group called Vox Machina, and that first campaign is done. I don't even know how long it was because I never listened to the whole thing. It was insane, and they did like spin-offs and one-offs for the characters. But their second campaign now is up to 11 episodes, I think.
No,
and it follows a new group, and I'm not going to tell you their name because it's part of the campaign.
But there's only six of us.
So yeah, you should definitely check it out. It's amazing, but seeing their way of playing D&D, because I've had very 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 limited access and limited exposure to D&D in the past. Seeing the way they play it, they're voice actors, so they fully realize their characters. They rarely during recording they and you can watch them because on their Twitch stream you see all 6 to 7 players and the DM. You see their faces through the whole of the session. And like Alex said, or Lucian said, they're like 3.5-4 hours long each. But they don't drop character unless they're like not. It's remarkable. It's remarkable.
Unless they're busting a gut laughing.
Laura Bailey's character this season is probably one of my favorite ever.
That's amazing.
Seeing that, it's like, okay, maybe instead of playing something that's like super familiar to me character-wise, I want to play something that I'm actually going to have to jump in and think differently. So, it's been fun for me.
You know, the thing that I think I love most about Critical Role is they capture... I think that they've made so many people interested in D&D, and the reason that that is because they capture what it is to actually play D&D with a group of friends who genuinely care about each other and have fun together. Now, they happen to be extremely talented as well, but I think that that's one of the reasons that I continue to come back every week, is they genuinely care about each other, and it gives you that kind of feeling of friends coming together, sitting down, playing a game that they love, and going into this world that's completely foreign to what we know. You know, and getting to be these heroes
when they're being total dorks with each other. Not to spoil anything for anyone, but Sam Riegel for campaign number 2 is playing a little goblin girl. And Sam
so
Riegel
brilliant.
Is not a female. Like, he sits there during the campaign and he talks like this.
That was really good.
Yeah, that was actually really good.
That scared me.
It's cool. But no, seeing that made me really happy, because that's the kind of thing I've always wanted to be, a voice actor. And so I feel like, okay, well, I'm starting to try and flex a little bit. But I have to go potty real quick. So I love you all, but I will be back in a moment.
Don't mute. We definitely want to listen to that.
No. Yeah. Be right back.
It'll be our intermission music. Go ahead, Luthien.
Splashing. So I also think it's really cool that, as he was saying before, Critical Role has gotten so many more people interested in D&D who had never, like, really understood it before, and like it's opened it up to a broader audience. And we're starting to see sort of a renaissance of Dungeons and Dragons. That Critical Role got really popular. Now we're starting to see that, like, the Achievement Hunter guys are doing a D&D campaign, and there's the Harmon Quest doing a D&D campaign. And you have all of these very popular, large creators running campaigns because people want to watch it, because it's fun, because, you know, it's a really cool, fun activity that has sort of been maligned for a very long time as being the the ultimate pinnacle of nerdiness, which it is, but it's awesome.
Well, it's being realized as like the pinnacle form of cool nerdiness. Whereas before it was like the nerds.
Yeah, even the nerds didn't want to be known to play Dungeons and Dragons.
Absolutely.
Look at all these celebrity actors that have, like, you know, Vin Diesel. He's like, yeah, I play D&D all the time. I just blanked on his name. I believe it's John. He plays in Magic Mike. He is... Oh my gosh, I love him because he's so passionate about D&D.
Oh my god.
It's Maggioni? No, it's Italian sounding. Ooh, I feel really bad because I think he's an awesome guy. Brett, look it up and then tell us.
Right, I'll work on it.
But anyway, you know, you've got these people who, you know, like you were saying, Luthien, I mean, it's your...
Right. You said Magic Mike, resurgence. Right?
Yeah.
You're not thinking Channing Tatum, are you?
No. It's the guy who actually directed Magic Mike.
Oh, the guy who directed. You just said Magic Mike.
He's also
Steven Soderbergh. Magic Mike.
No, not Steven Soderbergh.
Well, he's the director. Oh my god, you're the worst. All right, I'm going to read off the entire cast. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I don't know who to tell you then.
It starts with an M.
Is it Matthew McConaughey?
No. He's a very muscular, bearded gentleman.
Oh my god.
That narrows it down.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Let's go to Hollywood. Muscular, bearded guys in this day and age. Let's see here. Results over 9 million. Got it.
It's over 9 million.
Yep. There's no... I got nothing for you. Sorry.
You know what? Hold on.
You're probably thinking of the absolute wrong movie.
No, I'm not. Anyways.
Olivia Munn's a muscular, bearded man, right?
Yeah.
Yes. That would be me. I starred in Magic Mike. Oh, God. That movie would come with a puke bucket.
The point that I was trying to make was that, horribly. You know, you, like you said, screw you. Joe, I'm going to butcher his last name, Manganiello.
You definitely are not saying that right.
Yeah.
No, I'm definitely not.
That doesn't start with an M.
It does. It starts with an M. I said M.
Oh, his last name starts with an M. You gotta be specific.
That's what I said. I said his last name starts with an M.
Luthien, did you hear last name or did you just hear name? Whatever. Don't let me down.
To be honest, I was in the middle of a duel. I wasn't really paying attention.
Yep, so that's what you said.
So anyway, the community has voted. Is now that we've been derailed.
You were derailed and I wasn't even there.
Yeah, no, seriously. Nick, you probably know this guy. He was on Critical Role as a guest star. Joe Manganiello.
The guy from... The guy who played
Chicago.
Anemone. Yeah, no, seriously.
Exactly.
The guy who played Chicote?
No. The guy who played Archon. He was in the last campaign. He hasn't been a guest star in this campaign. But he was in Magic Mike.
I think we can move past the Magic Mike part.
Anyway,
yeah.
I think we beat that to the ground.
The point is, resurgence, renaissance of D&D, of it becoming cool again. I agree with Luthien. The end.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing is that it's becoming popular.
Oh, yeah. Well, and actually, I found quite on a regular basis recently... on Twitch, Dungeons and Dragons is in the top like 10 channels on Twitch of people.
Yeah.
People. I mean, it's usually obviously when Critical Role's doing it because they get quite a few people watching, but there's always quite a few people live streaming doing Dungeons and Dragons. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. And I think that that's amazing. I love that because Dungeons and Dragons is an amazing It's the best thing in the entire in my entire life.
If we can zip to Skype for it, I'll gladly start streaming us doing it.
Yeah, I would be down.
Because I can stream from my computer now.
It's just the ultimate group activity, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
besides,
you're all collaborating towards a goal. You've got one friend who's bossing everyone around, and like, is your master. And then, you could have it be a group of 10 people, or you could literally do it with 2 people.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just...
I mean, it's not as fun, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it would just be a very different experience doing, like, one player and one DM. But it's still possible, and it's whatever you want to make of it. Like, if you want to run a steampunk, you know, steampunk wizards campaign, you're totally down. Like, do it. Have fun.
Yeah.
Brett, that's the episode title, Steampunk Wizards.
Steampunk Wizards, got it. Writing it down.
Steampunk. I don't believe it.
He just writes the word "it."
Wow!
There, wrote it down.
Thank you, for that.
All right. Thank you, airline employee.
Oh my God!
Like
one last
pick my ear.
One last point from me for Critical Role that'll guide us into our campaign. Russell.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to touch your balls under the table here for a second. I have to say, listening to Critical Role, you are a really good DM. I'll listen to him do his stuff and do world building, and I'm like, oh my God, this sounds exactly like Russell. Like, you're really good at world building on the go. Yeah, no, you're really good at it, dude. Just wanted you to know.
That just made me feel so warm and fuzzy inside, Brett.
All right, I'm done cupping your balls.
You just brought a little tear to my eye.
Anytime, man. Anytime.
I'm not even joking. That's like the best compliment I've ever received.
Oh, aww. Shucks. We're going to get sappy now?
It's time.
Yuck.
If I could be a DM like Matt Mercer, that makes my entire life right there.
I honestly haven't like once... I would love Matt Mercer. Too. But no, seriously, like, I'll be listening to him, and there's not a single point where I'm like, man, Russell could learn a lot from this. Like, I think you do a good job. There you go.
Thank you.
Well, tell us about your world, and we can talk about our campaign.
Okay. So the campaign is based in a world that I've created called Terranio, which is high magic. It's a high magic world with lots of different events going on. There are three main empires. There are three main races that kind of control what's going on in the world. There are the humans, the giants, and there are four. The humans, the giants, the dwarves, and the elves. And I've kind of taken each race and kind of twisted them a little bit. Giants aren't as large as they are in the D&D universe. Their max height is like 10 feet. But they retain their strength and everything like that. But they worship a goddess named Freya, that is the god that created them, and it exists as kind of like it's a Viking type culture. They're all about competition, glory, valor, pitting themselves against strong foes, because they believe in survival of the fittest. They live in a very harsh winter environment that exists on the northern end of the continent, which takes its name from the overall world, which is Terraniel as well. And then you have the dwarves, which live in the south in their mountain home called Yggdrasil's Throne, which is their god that created them, who's all about endurance. And so the dwarves, they love things that endure, and in my world, they are the creator of all magical items. Magical items have been created. Yeah. The dwarves have created all the magical items. That's their thing. They create magical items and then give it to the world, and to the point to where most mundane things can be accomplished in a magical way. For instance, there are during one of the moments in the campaign, one of the characters was taking a bath. The bath maintained its heated water based on runes that the dwarves had put into the tub. They brought in a stone which then drained all the water. That was a dwarven-made mundane magical item. The town that they're in had magical lanterns that you could touch and make things brighter or dimmer. And so that's kind of what the dwarves do. They're merchants and they're developers of magical items, and that, so that's how they make their living. That's how their society endures, is they go forth and they sell their magical items to the Dawn Empire, which is the human kingdom, the giants, and they don't really deal with the elves because they don't like elves.
Yeah, who does?
As is usual. And then you have the elves, which whoever's filling up their water.
Yeah. It's
super loud.
Well, I like my water.
Well, do it quiet, for God's sake.
Yeah, man. You're distracting me. And then the elves, they exist as the god that created them is Ordo. And he created the elves with his love of knowledge. So they actually are a theocracy based around the acquiring of knowledge. Their temple is this great library where they have acquired knowledge. They place it there. In fact, the elves themselves, they believe that any pursuit of acquiring knowledge is worthwhile. So an elf who becomes a potter, he learns everything that he can about being developing clay, about the turning of the wheels, stuff like that, and they write it down throughout their life. When they die, they give that tome over to the great library. It's housed there, things like that. And then you have the Dawn Empire, which is humanity's kingdom. They were created by Gaudium, and he created them to combat the Doomspawn, which were created by Invidious, which is kind of the Satan of the world. He's the main bringer of woe to the world.
And the baddie.
So, yeah. Well, I mean, he's kind of he's a god working behind the scenes to make sure that things go as wrong as possible, because he is jealous of everything else, and he kind of wants to break the board and, you know, make it into his own image versus the image that the other gods have created. So yeah, that's the world that I've created. What do you guys think of the world that I've created? The world building.
Oh, it's shit, dude. It's so bad.
Yeah, I can understand where you would feel that way.
No, I already gave my opinion, like, before we started this and made you cry. Why don't you other two yahoos go for it?
I want to learn more about it through the eyes of Jaig.
And who's that?
That's my wee character, laddie.
Oh, tell me more about your character.
He's a turtle.
He's a turtle.
Yes, he's a turtle. I don't want to say too much because you guys don't know him yet, so...
Well, we've seen some of his mannerisms and stuff. You can talk about that just to show, like, well, we talked about you getting more into role-playing, like, kind of some of the mannerisms that let you have a lot of fun with him.
Well, again, I don't want to say too much because there's a lot of his mannerisms that you guys haven't seen yet.
Well, just from what we have seen.
He's a very socially awkward individual because... His entire life, and, you know, mum's the word as far as how old he is, he's observed humanity, but he's never taken part in humanity. And he's a hunter by trade or skill or whatever you want to call it. Ranger, sorry. And he's lived off the land, and he can absolutely hold his own if it's up for, you know, we have to survive. We have duct tape and a paperclip. Good luck. but he has had almost no interaction with people. So his interactions with people and his interpretation of the way relationships work is fascinating.
Yeah, just in the like the couple moments really that I've interacted with him has been super entertaining.
So, yeah, he's one of our characters. He's just absolutely fallen in love with their beard. Brett's character, actually.
And he calls my character what?
Beard.
Beard, so again.
There's social nuance that he doesn't have. Or he hasn't picked up on. So, yeah, it's been interesting. There's another character who was the first person he interacted with face to face. Whether or not it's the first person in his life or the first person in recent memory, that's up for interpretation, or up for discovery. But he latched on to this person and has been following them like a puppy when that puppy meets somebody, And he's
that's a good way to describe it.
With this person's hat. And he, to the point he calls him my hat. He met a human woman, a bartender, bar wench, if you will, and he told her that she was a human female. And then he asked his hat if his hat wanted to mate with the human female, because the human female clearly wanted to mate with him.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah. So it's been interesting. I still don't quite know how I want to voice the character, but
I think it's been pretty good so far. Yeah.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it.
Absolutely.
He definitely has a slow way of speaking.
Because he's a toito. So,
a tortle.
A tortle.
Tortle.
So, and he love does. It. I've made it at a point to point out twice in the first session with him that he has a snake, very pale green and white snake that seems to be coiled up behind his head in the back of his shell. And when his hat first acknowledged him, he looked at his snake and smiled and told him that they had a friend.
Aww.
Now, whether or not Hat determines him to be a friend or not, that's another story.
That's irrelevant.
Right. Luthien, I know you've been there for a couple. Do you want to talk about your character?
Certainly. So my character is a hermit. He was once a soldier a long time ago, but decided that he just doesn't like people and sort of disappeared into the swamps for a while. And to that end, my character does not really follow the lore of the world at all. He doesn't really know what's going on, really, and doesn't really care. That he's just doing his own thing and sort of is getting dragged along on the various adventures that are happening.
Glorious.
Yeah, I mean... I haven't been there for very many of our D&D campaigns, so I haven't really been able to flesh them out as much as I would like.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we'll get there. We'll get there. We'll keep ever so often. We'll definitely do like updates on the campaign.
Yes.
And what we've been up to and everything. my character is, pretty basic, but I haven't liked D&D a lot in a long time, so I'm kind of. Yeah, I could have fun with him, but he's pretty basic. He's just a bald bearded. Oh, where did I get that from? I don't even know. And soldier come over from the wars. He's kind of a sellsword, moving around trying to find work and just doing his own little thing. And I haven't been able to flesh him out too much, but I have some ideas. But again, it's mostly just been like you know, we haven't gone very far in the campaign, but it's mostly been like talking to a couple guards and getting a room and being scared of some sort of magic and then killing a guy and then almost passing out from smoke. So that's really all that's been going on. So yeah, but no, I've got some ideas and some stuff that'll come out later, which should be fun. But right now to explain them is super boring. So I'll wait till stuff happens.
Well, I think that's part of the fun in, you know, you have a character who has a basic backstory. It gives you much more, a lot more room to develop that character as you go along. I feel like if you create too much of a backstory, you're almost locked in. So as you play the character, you don't get to develop them and their backstory, like the details. You know, if you have that kind of basic thing or that idea in your mind of, oh, he was a sellsword soldier, you know, as you play him and as you get to know that character, you get to develop who he is and what he thinks and what his desires are and his motivations and things like that to a degree that I feel like you only get when you develop that character as you play it.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Well, then I have a couple of things ready to go with, like, I've written down a few, like, past experiences in case something kind of like it comes up and he'll act certain ways, and that'll be fun. But yeah, that's really most of the back I've done, just so we can really play with him and let him become his own as we go forward. Mm-hmm. Well, Russell, do you want to give a brief synopsis of what we've done so far?
No, I want you guys to give it. See, I develop and help you guys participate in the events, but I want to hear you guys tell how you think what happened and how it went down and things like that.
Well, if you have me describe it, it's going to go as follows, because I can't remember everything because you name things and I don't remember everything. So if you ask me, it's going to go like this. I went to a gate. There were some guards. Something was happening. I went in there, stayed at an inn. Some bad dude showed up, started killing people. I stabbed a guy. Almost passed out and rode a turtle into a river. That's my description.
It sounds like my last weekend in Vegas. Okay. Never been to Vegas.
But yeah, there's my synopsis.
Fine. I will give a synopsis. So
honestly, I don't think there was really anything wrong with that synopsis, because it's...
No.
I mean, that's what his character knows right now.
That is true, actually. That is a valid point.
That's actually very accurate.
Because a lot of other stuff has happened, but that is only everything from my view.
True. So, we started out with the characters coming to a place within the Dawn Empire, which is, again, the human empire that's been created. They came to a village named Alberic's Field. In the territory of Gaianor, because the Dawn Empire is made up of multiple territories. Albrecht's Field, and the characters knew this kind of coming in, it has some importance in the Dawn Empire, being that it is the believed site of where humanity was first created by Gaudium. It rests next to a lake called Cradle Lake, which is a lake that's been filled in over time, which was a crater where humanity was created. It's kind of a trade route through the Dawn Empire, as well as being a popular place for pilgrims to come and worship those who participate in the religion of Gaudium. So the players came for their own reasons. Luthien came in because he was looking for goods to partake in so that he could go back into the wilderness and go back into seclusion, which is where he enjoys being.
And what poor timing for poor Luthien to go into town.
Yes. Behishtor was journeying, and this was one of the stops on his road down from the northern border of the Dawn Empire, where there is constant it's kind of like a small-scale war. It's mostly a series of battles and defenses against raids from the giants. It's not really heated. There's no malice in it. It's just we need to defend our northern border. Otherwise, the giants will come in and start raping and pillaging. So
they're stealing our women and raping our goats.
The Hishor was on his way down because that's just what sellswords do when they want to give up the life of a sellsword. And we had another character named Mythos, who was Nick's first character, because Nick has since changed characters. Mythos came in as he was searching for a specific group within Albrecht's field. For his own reasons. They came into the city at the time of the God's Harvest, which is a celebration of the cessation of a war that happened around 3,000 years ago. But it was this cataclysmic war between the five gods of creation. That being Gaudium, Ordo, Dionguedel, and Freya on one side, and Invidious and his Doomspawn on the other side. So they are... This is the celebration. It's happened every time around this year for the last 3,000 years. Most of the characters were not necessarily aware that it was upcoming. Because they had been on the road for a while and weren't paying attention to such things. They came into the city. They were pointed towards the Green Flame Inn, which is the inn directly next to the Temple of Gaudium in the town square. They went into the inn. Mythos talked with a few people and found that there was no room at the inn. There was only one room available, which Behistor got to first. Proceeded to take a bath. And Mythos came. He did a little talking to investigate the group that he's looking for. He was not able to obtain any information in that respect, and so he retired to the bedroom with Behistor because they worked out a deal where they would both share the room.
That's exactly what you found. I'm just kidding.
I know. I realized that. It meant to sound weird.
I was naked and wet. Yeah. He looked for dragons in my dungeon, if you know what I mean.
Oh, did he fire a magic missile at the darkness?
Oh, yeah.
So Mythos and Behistor then proceeded to have a conversation in which Behistor was made aware of the fact that Mythos could talk directly into his mind, which was freaky.
A very one-sided conversation.
Behistor just kind of shrugged and decided that he was going to go to sleep.
Oh, that wasn't shrugging. That was straight terror.
Oh, was it?
Did you not catch that? I'm thinking, you no, got to remember, I was dead to the world when we did the first thing, so I think that's how it came across. But if not, that's how it was supposed to go.
No, it just kind of seemed like your character was like, well... That's interesting. I'm going to go to bed now.
Okay. The intent, I'm sure, as tired as I was probably like, I was like trying to say like, and he flipped out and dove into his bed, and it probably came out like, he just went to bed.
Yeah,
that's you're a horseradish.
Okay. Well, good to know. I don't remember most of the first show, so there you go.
It's funny because Brett's character, Behistor, as soon as he said, my character goes to sleep. Brett apparently fell asleep.
Fell backwards into my chair and died.
Which is hilarious.
I pulled a Nick. I woke up like 5 hours later in my chair and I was like, where am I?
Yep. Mythos that night, he had a dream of a twisted being pulling himself out of a chasm beneath... desert-swept mountains. Is it Legend of Zelda?
Plagiarism, you bastard!
No, but dreaming about a twisted monster dragging himself out of slumber is very much a Legend of Zelda trope, but it's also a lot of fantasy trope, so it's not really.
Oh, that's true. But it was It was this being that, you know, it would, its eyes would peer into your soul, but then they would be as big as the horizon and then as small as a pinprick. There was a feeling of gnashing teeth, moving tentacles, and hands coming and grasping the side of a chasm in which everything it touched turned to ash and fell away as it's climbing its way from the chasm. And he woke up and he decided to write this in his journal. And so he wrote down the experience, or what he thought was the experience, but as he read back over it, all that was written in the journal was, "He is coming." He had it take up the whole page, and then it would be written in the margins beside it. It would be, you know, moving horizontally along the page, and then it was just a strange, chaotic mishmash of "He is coming" being written over and over. Mythos woke up in the morning, and also Luthien. So Luthien came into the town, and he had worked with the innkeeper before on some small items, mostly run and fetch quests to, you know, for the inn. So he had to deal with the innkeeper where he could sleep in the loft in the stablery. So he did that. Mythos the next morning decided to do a little more investigation. He went and talked with the guard captain. Jeez, what's his name? I don't even remember. Anyway, the guard captain, who was a dwarf, he talked with him for a minute or two. Asked him about a group of people called the Cult of the Lich, which was the group.
Oh, I didn't just ask him. I was insistent that, well, he, let me rephrase
that, something was going to occur.
Something was wrong.
Yes, that's right.
And can I just say that I was right?
Oh, you were definitely right. At which point, somewhere between the guardhouse and the inn, Mythos disappeared.
Stay tuned.
Right.
Next week on
the party. Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, I was hoping you'd get way more excitable about it.
Dragon Ball Z.
Nick does it the best. Nick, next Keep week on.
Dragon Ball Z.
That was pretty good.
Luthien, next week on.
I'm trying not Dragon to be too Ball. Loud because Jake went to bed yet.
Oh, God.
I've actually watched Dragon Ball Z, so.
I love Dragon Ball Z.
That was hot. I could listen to it, you say Dragon Balls all day. Speaks.
The balls are inert.
Oh, they're never inert.
It's more like an innie than an outie.
The party then came across a monk who was there participating in a fighting competition. He won that fighting competition and got himself a helm that allowed his eyes to glow, a mundane item found in Xanathar's Guide. That I just changed around. I wanted it to, instead of having horns, it's kind of a closed, almost like a ninja mask with a demon's face and fangs and then a tongue coming out of it. And so the kind of open part is where you have the glowing red eyes. Then Behistor finally woke up from his long, long nap around noon. And around this time, as they're coming out into what was now Fairgrounds, which was the town square, they had booths and everything and games that they could play and participate in to celebrate the God's Harvest. They had then started to pack up their booths by touching them, and then they would compact themselves, kind of like a folding canoe or something.
Along those a lines, folding canoe?
Oh, that's a thing.
I know, but I just like how that was the description you went with. That's awesome.
So what it does is it, as you press one of the runes, it folds itself up into a small square in which you could then place inside of a pocket or something akin to the mayor got up and gave a speech. During that speech,
you haven't mentioned my character.
Oh, Jayag, I'm so sorry. As things were starting to occur, the players were moving around doing certain things, and our blood hunter, Daggerland, who is an Eladrin, was there, and he encountered a Tortle, who appears to be aged, and kind of has some of the same characteristics of like a snapping turtle. And he approached him and then started following him around like a puppy, calling him my hat, asking him if he was going to mate with the barmaid.
At first it was just hat.
Oh, now it has become my hat.
And then it was my hat.
And that was a
subtle thing. I don't know if anyone picked up on that.
I did. And so I wish I could remember specifically what were some of the, like, as Hat is talking to the barmaid and the barmaid is outrageously flirting with him, Jay is like, she seems to be attracted to you. I can't do it in the same way that Nick does.
I'm like, human female wants to mate with you.
Yes.
And then I looked at Daggerland and just, jowls were like, you know, wiggling back and forth because I had just moved my big head. And I was like, with big, big eyes, I'm like, are you going to mate with the female? Or just a smile, like, congratulations. You know?
Go get some, son. You.
So Jayag is no end of amusement. If we ever stream, just tune in for Jayag's antics, because they are...
It's not even antics, it's just conversation.
But the way that you deliver the lines, and the way, like, the moments that you deliver them in, is just very strange, and, like, adds that comic element that is very... It makes the game so much better.
Mm-hmm.
And, So the mayor starts to give a speech after all this has occurred, and I just want to point out, because this was another funny moment, Jayag, instead of standing on his tiptoes, stretches his neck out as far as it'll go and like raises himself up from
it was
4 feet to 6 feet. It's just yeah. So the mayor's giving a speech, and while this is occurring, the players start to notice that there's the jingle of mail, of metal, the clop of horses, and they look back, and because the city is situated, the town square specifically is situated along the top of the hill, they can look down the main street to the gate, and they see an army that has come up the main road and is now in front of Albrecht's field.
And Bahester went into the road and stood single-handedly before them and slew many that day.
No, he didn't.
Oh,
he
right,
hid behind
sorry.
A shield like a little girl.
So he wouldn't die.
Girls don't have shields.
I would like to say sense. I'm the only one that's killed someone yet, so...
That is valid. So as the party starts to realize this, the party quickly realizes that this is a no-win situation for them. So three of the four people are like, nope, I'm out. Peace. These guys can do whatever they want, but I'm out of here. So three of them start making their way to the edge of the town square. The Hister is like, slowly, I just realized I'm probably being super loud. My wife is trying to sleep. But his sword, like, edges his shield so that he can, like, quickly defend himself and get behind it. So there's a cloaked figure, which is obviously very ominous. I mean, I'm not even going to try to hide that. But, you know, these people, they go, oh, you could tell that that character was evil? They're wearing all black. Their face is hidden.
Yeah, his horse was black.
They're super sinister. Yeah. I mean, he's supposed to be sinister, so. But he comes with this his armed group of guards. He appears to be a lord of some sort. And without speaking to the mayor or anything, he sends his captain into the temple. And then the captain returns with a large hammer that appears to be magical in nature. It looks like it's made of white bone. It has shadow flames coming off.
Oh, there's
off
bone,
of it.
All right.
It appears to be bad news. Daggerlind, who is a blood hunter, rolled well on his perception check against the Lord, we'll call him for now, and he saw what appears to be what would normally be reminiscent of the undead is... I described it as... with undead, when he uses his blood hunter senses to be able to perceive things, he sees a shadow that makes up who they are. In place of what would normally be a bright soul is now a dark shadow that is infused within their body. When he beheld the Lord, it appeared to be a shadow clinging to the body and these shadow screaming faces coming off of it. It wasn't obvious to him what it may be other than it has something to do with the undead. And then even more so, they decided to push towards the edge of the town square. And at that point, once the captain returned to the guards that the Lord had brought with him, the Lord turns to the captain, and in a very caring voice, this rasping kind of, he goes, "Kill them. Kill them all." And so the guards then formed they pulled out their shields.
No rush.
Behind them, they pulled out crossbows and started firing into the crowd. The players then decided that they were just gonna book it out of there. Three of them went down an alley and then back behind, back into the inn, because one of the players had left a few things in his room, so he went back to get those. Beheshtor took off in the opposite direction and was like, "All right, I'm out of here. This is some bad news bears. Let's get the heck out of Dodge." So Jayag, Daggerlind, and Alanon, which is another one of our players, he's the monk, they decided that their best bet were the docks of the lake. Because Albrecht's Field is surrounded by a river, so it has the lake on one side, and then it's between the rivers that are feeding into and draining from the lake. So they decide that they're going to make their way to the docks and try to hop on some boats to get the heck out of Dodge. Beheshtor goes to the right, thinking that he can make it to the river and disappear that way. As Beheshtor is coming out of the town square through the alleys into the next side street, he comes across a soldier who's killing a woman and her child. So Beheshtor has an epic duel with a soldier and kills him. Very dead. Decapitates him.
Very dead.
His head went flying.
Yeah. So
it's like
so they're
15 feet away or something crazy.
Yeah, it was well, because you rolled a crit.
Yeah, no, it went ka-kling, ka-kling, rolled right.
So like a golf club, you just kind of send it flying.
All in one.
Jayag, Alanon, and Daggerlind, they make their way to the docks, but as they're getting to the docks, they realize that, one, all the players realize that the town has been set on fire, and it's starting from the outer edges and working its way in. And two, that there is a barricade of boats around the dock. So they decide that they're going to head back in the opposite direction because they see the barricade of boats and there are people trying to get from the village, trying to get into the boats that are docked. And they are firing flaming arrows into the crowd that are trying to get to the boats. They're killing people. Anybody that's coming near the boats, they're killing with extreme prejudice. So the party then rejoins together,
Like every flaming arrows to the point that like every time one of them hits, it's like hi. Yeah. I go hi.
Hi. I'm just imagining you like the Nerf football that whistles. They're just flying. They're going yas.
Yas, queen.
Yas.
So they the party rejoins. And they are all making their way to the southwest side of the town, and the town is surrounded by a palisade, so they come up on the palisade. They've made their way through the flaming outer edge of the town as it's spreading inward, and so I'm making them roll constitution checks as they're coming through the smoke, so that they don't pass out. So it was, if they fail one, they're okay. They're choking, but nothing happens. If they fail a second one, then they pass out. And there are other things that went into it. Like, if you guys covered up your face, then you got advantage. And if you had
bought, yeah, I don't think any of us caught on to that.
Some bonuses, you know. So anyway, they make their way to the palisade, and it's a 10-foot palisade wall, and they have 50 feet of rope. And they decide.
We did not know it was 10 feet tall at the beginning.
I told you guys four times that it was 10 feet tall.
We were too busy.
So they decide, instead of throwing a rope over the palisade, they decide to go through the palisade and bring it down.
Okay. Listen, my initial thought was to get through. I failed the first time, and I had the rope in my hand before Nick's character was like, no beard, again, and talked me into keeping trying.
Hey, I was impressed by what you did.
I just love that we all almost died just from the one phrase, no beard, again.
Again. Which is, I mean, that's the end of D&D in a nutshell. And so they're attempting to break through the palisade, and so it was kind of like, and they just kept, you guys kept, just kept dropping like flies, like one after the other would fail their saving throw and pass out. So Brett was the only one still conscious, him and Jayag, but Jayag had retreated into his shell to maintain his consciousness. And so Brett piles the bodies on top of Jayag and is like using him as a ram to ram over and over again.
He's a giant turtle shell. I just threw everyone on top of it.
So they finally break through the palisade. They tumble into the river, and as they're floating down the river, seemingly safe, they see the pillar of flame that has become Albrecht's field. That extends a good 60 to 100 feet into the sky. It's just this flaming tornado of destruction.
Did you say a flaming tornado?
Yes, I did.
Okay. That's hot.
Because every porn needs a little tornado, especially flaming ones.
All right, lads, I'm going to step out briefly. I'll be right back.
Okay, bud.
Hey, girl. Hi.
Hi. And that's where we ended, right?
That is where we ended.
I think the best part of that whole situation was since, by the way, again, thank you, Nick, for putting that RP bot in the server. It's so awesome. But yes. being able to watch the constitution checks happen in that critical moment where, like, if one more person passes out, we're all going to die in, like, the third week of doing this. And just being able to watch it go, okay, last Blade Song is typing. Oh, he failed. Oh, he's gone. Okay.
No.
Nick is typing. Oh, no.
Having the addition of Daggerland,
mm-hmm.
our new friend, ex-Hanzo main,
mm-hmm.
it's been fantastic.
No, like, it's been awesome.
Right in.
Absolutely.
Having him in there, like, he fit.
Like, well, it was fun because, you know, that episode we had him on this last week was, I think that was the first time both of you guys have talked to him, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, and then like a couple days later, he was in our D&D campaign. It was super fun. And yeah, he fits in perfectly.
He does. He does. He's awesome. I love the way he plays. I'm excited to have somebody who, you know, has a little bit more experience.
Mm-hmm.
Because you guys are relatively new to D&D. And so having somebody that can, you know, who kind of knows the rules, you know, to help you guys in certain situations, I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to make the game more fun for everybody.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I think it's just been an awesome thing to get together and do, you know, it's one thing to game with each other all week, but it's easy to get tilted in certain games, you know, and it's nice to just kind of have something where you're in. The only thing you can get tilted over is because the computer rolled your dice bad. It's right. Not because, you know, someone's playing Hanzo and they're a cheating bastard.
I will be honest. I have had those moments where those table-pounding rage moments in D&D as well, though.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's just like, you have got to be kidding me.
Well, it's so fun because it's different. You know, it's not... you know, running around shooting stuff together, like you get, I mean, we talked about this earlier in the show, where it lets you bring forth your imagination. And so it's fun to see that side of people that you video game with, you know, and go, okay, you spend years playing with the same people and you kind of pick up on certain things that, like, there's different people in our group that'll see something in a game and it'll click with them differently than someone else. And so when you get to play D&D with them and you get to kind of see how their brain works, you're like, oh, well, that's why this is interesting to you, because you're using this and that, and it's just super fun to watch people, how different people's brains work and their imagination and why certain things click for people.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, don't everyone dive in there to tell their own little thingies or anything. Oh, my God.
I just kept on talking for like 20 minutes. What do you want from me?
So here's an interesting thing that I could contribute.
Perfect.
So for my local D&D group, I have a group that I meet with in person. I am actually working on a Bloodborne-based campaign.
Oh, really?
Yes, that I'll be DMing. And the challenge of translating Bloodborne into Dungeons & Dragons is ridiculous. It, like, there are just so many mechanics that just don't cross over very well. Like, you know, when you're in Bloodborne, one of the big things is you're always in danger, that there could be enemies around every corner. But in D&D, combat encounters are, like, kind of a big thing. Like, you stop what you're doing, you roll initiative, you fight, and then you move on. But, like, that would be exhausting to do every single time. So trying to work out how to work in initiative, trying to work in... how does dodging work? Because the ability to dodge attacks is kind of a big thing in Bloodborne.
Yeah.
Not to mention translating all the enemies and attacks and whatnot. It's been a very interesting challenge. It's been a lot of fun.
You know, I've kind of always had this idea in the back of my head of wanting to run through Dark Souls 1 as in D&D. Mm-hmm. So, like, just take everybody through what is in Dark Souls 1. And have that be the
D&D campaign. Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah. I think it would be a lot of fun. The difficulty is, especially with Dark Souls, not as much with Bloodborne, but especially with Dark Souls, is that death is a big thing. That dying repeatedly is a big part of Dark Souls. It's a big part of the theme. It's a big part of everything. But in Dungeons & Dragons, death is very, very rare. Player death is very, very rare.
Yeah.
And so building a system where the players can die repeatedly that actually works can be challenging.
Well, if you're doing it in person, you just print out a piece of paper that says you died, and then every 5 seconds you hold it up and go, "Wah."
Well, that would be one of the rare times where you would probably want to do XP, because what you do is they accrue XP as they kill things. If they die, then they go back to this certain place, you know what I mean? And then they have to come back through. Now, how you would do that as a party? Off the top of my head, I would say, you know, if...
shared health pool. No, just kidding.
Well, no. What I would do is, so the one player that, if they die, they go back to, you know, whatever that certain point is, the bonfire. And then, but if you're truly working as a party, you're going to want to help them get back to where they were. If they don't and they die, then they're screwed. You know what I mean?
You'll have to tell us more about that as it goes.
Take a lot of trial and error.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm super interested to hear how you're able to make that work. That'd be super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, once I actually have it all figured out, we'll definitely have to discuss it next time that we do a D&D talk.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Yeah. Well, anything else we want to discuss on with D&D before we start wrapping this up?
Critical Role is amazing, and if Matthew Mercer ever listens to this, you should leave a review, because I won't believe it unless it happens.
I'll tag him when I post the show, and he'll definitely listen to it. He's got nothing better to do, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's not like he runs a fabulous voice acting career. And he should open his own hair.
God, seriously, those are luscious locks. That's not like he's traveling to every Comic-Con possible.
Gosh. Or that.
Seriously, you know, they're always flying everywhere, and it's so cool.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I think he just seems like an awesome dude.
Kidding.
They're teleporting like everywhere.
A genuinely interesting person.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Well, it's also high noon.
It's high noon somewhere.
High noon.
It messes me up with Ford, because he basically has the same voice.
Yeah.
Well,
I also
like the fact that
his name's technically Ford.
Yep.
He pronounces it Ford.
What's your surname?
It's funny.
Tough.
Because, like.
Oh, my God. That killed me. I literally was on my route and had to stop the car, put it in park. I was, like, literally laughing out loud. I was crying. That was so good.
My other favorite part is when he's, like, he's getting the horse and he goes, is it a Mustang?
Yes.
I'm going to name it Shelby. And everybody groans.
The Ford jokes are so... All right, Ford, focus on this. You're like, oh, no. Oh, so
gosh,
good.
I love
so just
good
be a
role.
Quick, you know, click a Fiesta.
Yes, it's so good. All right, well, are we good to start wrapping up here?
Sure.
Cool. I got to get to bed. I work in the morning, and it's blizzarding outside, so I'm not excited for that.
Hot. Mm-hmm. Blizzarding down there, but not in Michigan.
Rain, sleet, or snow, man. Rain, sleet, or snow.
Yeah, wow, thanks. I never get tired of hearing that from random people that don't do my job.
What are you trying to say, Brett?
Seriously. So I'll do my route, and everyone will, like, step outside, and they'll say that to you. They'll be like, oh, it's snowing. Well, rain, sleet, or shine, right? And you're like, get inside. I hate you. Everybody does it. Do you have my $1 million check today? That's the equivalent of anyone that's worked retail and someone comes up and says, there was no price tag, it's free, right? It's the same thing. If you see your mailman and you think you're going to use that joke, please don't, because we hate you. It's annoying and it's not funny. And the last 400 people on my route have done the same joke today. Anyway, thank you for joining us for Just Some Guardians, episode 16.
Bitter.
I'm never bitter. You don't know me. When we do the show, we are live on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/justsomeguardians. You can jump in there, join the conversation, get in the live show. We'll see your comments, and we'll laugh at you, and we won't bring you into the show. No, I'm just kidding. We will love you. And we have no one watching us today, even though we've actually had like 3 or 4 people each episode the last like 4 or 5. It's been pretty cool.
I feel like we could probably blame that on how late we are streaming tonight.
Yeah, it is late on Sunday. That is true.
That's pretty accurate.
Anyway, well, you guys are going to be graced with 2 episodes if you listen on your podcast app of choice, because we are recording this much later in the week. So you'll technically get 2 episodes of us this week. It'll be beautiful. You can cherish that and enjoy it. And kick out one of your other podcasts you listen to listen to us twice, because we're more important.
And better.
If you want to reach us, we are on Twitter at JSGCast. You can email us questions, concerns, ideas, reviews, whatever. Pictures of Dick Cheney, and you can send those to justsomeguardians@gmail.com. What else do I say in this? Where else are we? Twitch, Twitter.
Twitch.
You can find
Twitch,
us on
Twitter.
Podbean, all your other apps of choice, iTunes, etc. Once again, I did not look at iTunes to see if we have a review. I will do that now.
We are the first and longest running Destiny podcast
on the internet. Yes. Do we have any YouTubers in our show?
On the internet.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
Do we have any YouTubers on our show?
I'm a boot-tuber.
A boot-tuber. Oh, damn.
If you want to follow my cosplay projects, LED_cloud on Instagram is where I post most of my stuff.
Definitely.
All other nifty little things.
It's good stuff.
Self-plugging.
Love it. You can find me on Twitter at ElmerFudGames. I'm also on Twitch, twitch.tv/ElmerFudGames. A double M, a double D.
Double D.
Gorgeous. We do not have a new review, which is sad. Once again, everybody, if you leave us a review on iTunes and leave it with a accent or like an actor you want them to do or something, right?
Yeah, I don't care. A voice.
Whatever. Whatever you want Nick to read your review in, whatever voice or accent or whatever, he will do so live on the show, which he did a few shows back. January 7th, actually. That was a while ago. This year's flying by. Damn. But yeah.
It was about 13 days ago.
Leave us a review. I don't care if it's a crappy review and you destroy us and cuss us out. He will still read it in whatever accent you want him to do. It actually be kind of funnier that way.
Just don't ask me to do Christopher Walken. Like, legit.
Yeah.
Please don't.
Yeah, that's one that I have a hard time with, too. That's hard. Nick, where can people find you?
I have a hard time doing it. So my brother does it. You know. Tits. I'm on Twitter at He Who Fights or on the PlayStations at... Oh. Or down the side of that bridge because that monster just threw me down the bridge. But, you know... That's not what we're talking about. So, anyway, yeah. PlayStation, I'm HWF-7Force.
Perfect. Russell, I assume you still have nothing.
Nothing.
Yep, perfect. we are a... You can find us. We are a Destiny clan. You can find us on the Bungie website. Just some Guardians. And once again, we play a lot of games together, so... You're not just joining a Destiny clan. You're joining a gaming community, basically. We do a lot of different games together. Yeah, exactly. And D&D.
I play about four games.
So there you go. We're going to attempt to have this week for our Destiny show. We're going to attempt to have Genius93 from the Destiny Addicts podcast on our show.
What?
As he did. He did all of our artwork and everything. Our Twitch panels and all that stuff for Just Some Guardians, and it looks awesome. So we want to get him on there so he can plug his artwork and we can all thank him for all that stuff. So there we go. We can all cup his balls under the table or on the table or next to the table. So there we go.
I'll do it above the table.
Right? Oh, yeah.
I'll do it in the air while hanging from the chandelier.
Well, once again, thank you all for joining us for Just Some Guardians episode 16. I'm going to end this show now.
Thank you,
Russell, right. Take us out.
See y'all later.
Join us next week for some mutual chaos and utter incompetency on Just Some Guardians.
See, Luthien, we still do it.
Ooh, what do you know?
That's been our tagline every episode.
Nice.
It has been.
I have left a mark on the world.
You have beautiful sexual mark. Usually this whole outro part with music is way more entertaining because everyone's talking. Thank you all for shutting up this time, so it's boring. They'll suck.
Yep. Just for you, Brett.
Nick didn't
what
sing.
What do you want from me, Brett?
This was awful.
There we go.
Well, thank you, Stream Chat, a.k.a. Nobody, for joining us tonight. I'm going to end the stream for all of you that are watching. It's just me on my computer.